back to the Aggressively Annoying Positive Podcast. Guys, today we are talking about my two favorite things, movies and music. For those of you who don't know, I'm a cinema major, so I'm kind of a professional on this topic. Anyways, movies are great, but today I'm going to talk about the power of a good film score or a good song and how it can connect us to memories and other people. So, when I think of film scores, my first thought immediately is Star Wars, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, and classic Disney cartoons. So, for my non-cinema majors, you know, whatever, who maybe don't know what a film score is, a film score is original music written specifically to accompany a film. Now, if you try to tell me you like the film score for Guardians of the Galaxy, you're a buffoon, that's a soundtrack, you silly goose. The difference between the two is that a soundtrack of a film has songs that are independent from the film itself, while a film score has cues that directly relate to what's happening on screen. There, now you know the difference. So let's talk about film scores. That's right, guys, today we are talking about Star Wars and the amazing John Williams. So, John Williams composed the music for Star Wars, obviously, Jurassic Park, E.T., Jaws, Harry Potter, Superman, and Indiana Jones, and so much more, or so many more, but those are just the ones that I saw and I was like, oh my god, I love those movies, so put them up. Now, when I said those iconic, timeless movie names, what did you think? I'm willing to bet that you thought of the chilling music and a powerful scene. Maybe you saw Luke Skywalker watching the Sons of Tatooine set, or you saw the Great Hall in Harry Potter. That connection goes deeper, though. I think of Star Wars, and I think of my family and I gathering in the living room to watch Star Wars to understand the references that my dad has been making to them for several years. I mean, the poor guy had to look his kid in the eyes and be like, "Koopa, Koopa, Emily, I am your father." And then this little 3-foot gremlin just looked back at him like, "I really sure hope so, Dad." Like, he had to put up that with that for a while. And so, yeah, so that was probably the first time I watched Star Wars. And every time I hear the music or I see the characters, I think of my dad and my family. Anyways, these amazing musical pieces are connected to characters as well. You know, you hear the dum 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 da dum dum da dum, and you see Darth Vader, and you hear the TIE fighters like whizzing by, and you see the lightsabers, and music is just so powerful because even years later, you will still see these images and maybe even think of the people that you shared the experiences with. Now, I mentioned soundtracks earlier. They have a similar effect as a film score, you know? Like, for example, when you hear Life is a Highway, you think of Lightning McQueen from Cars, or if you hear In Your Eyes, you see Lloyd Dobler holding up the boombox over his head to serenade the girl that he loves. Like, music and movies are timeless, and they're much like a powerful memory, you know? So, I don't know about anyone else, but sometimes when I hear a song or I watch a good movie, I get chills, and like listening to the song becomes this almost physical experience because it's so powerful. And usually the songs that give me chills are from movies. Don't make fun of me here, but the first one that comes to mind, if I'm being completely honest, is Show Yourself from Frozen 2. Guys, I don't know why, but that song gives me chills every single time, and always in like the same section of the song too. It's crazy. I love it. It's amazing. So, yeah. Think of that. Like, every time, like, think of a movie that, like, gives you chills every time you watch it. Ah, I love that feeling. So, here's the thing. I feel like film scores are becoming less popular in the modern cinema world. Like, Disney has a lot of film scores because their movies are also, like, a musical, sorta. So, their music was made specifically for Hercules or Simba. Like, it's not just background to fill space, which is what a lot of movies have, you know, like, they're in a bar scene and you hear a ragtime piano playing. I guess that could count as a soundtrack. It kind of depends as to what movie it is. But not to sound like a dad here, but the 80s absolutely knew what they were doing. The movies, most of the movies that I mentioned are from the 80s and they still hold up to this day. My dad was like, you know, Star Wars, even 20 years later, I hear the music and I'm just like, oh, this great, transported back to the cinemas the first time I watched it. And I'm like, oh, that's great, Dad. Very, very cool, you know? And so let's get a little sciencey right now, okay? So the memories, so me okay, ready? Memories are stored in the brain's hippocampus, which is, and music is also stored in the hippocampus. That's like a part of the brain. I don't know. I learned all of this for you guys. Okay, anyways, the hippocampus, right? That's where memories and music are stored. So the two are definitely connected in not only this like feelings sort of way, but a scientific way as well. They are literally next to each other in your brain. So it's no wonder that they tend to go hand in hand. So our brains are hardwired to connect music and memories. The brain also has a limbic system that is involved in our behavior and emotional response, and listening to music increases the blood flow to those regions of the brain that control emotions. Yeah. Get scienced. I did a lot of research for you guys. I'm not a neuroscience gal, but I am a cinema gal. So let me give you some way more interesting cinema knowledge. Let's talk about movies here, all right? Here is a brief little bit of cinema history for you guys. Okay. The first movie was by the Lumiere brothers in December of 1895, which was more like a moving photograph of a horse running. So they put the like a bunch of pictures of a horse that they took at really fast speeds, and then they put it in a spinning wheel of sorts, and then, you know, it projected light, and then it was viewed to audiences. And originally, it was used just to see how many of the horses' hooves were in the air at a time while it was galloping. So it's kind of funny that movies were invented just to settle a debate, you know? Like, I think that's so funny. Yeah, so the first film score was in 1908. So films were silent from 1895 to 1908. And so the first film score was by Camille Saint-Saëns, and a film score for L'Assassinat du Duc de Guise. That's right. I learned French pronunciation for you guys, okay? I feel so smart right now. Anyways, then in 1927, talkies soon appeared, and talkies are movies with synchronized sound and visuals. Before that, it was the era of the silent film. So talkies are movies with the sound, and if there was any music in the movie, right, it was played live in front of a silent movie on a projector before this, and then the band would just be in front of you know, and that was just how sound worked. Otherwise, there was title cards in the talkies that were like, "Oh no, ah, la 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 la," and it would like tell you what something really important that was happening. But it was also a lot of visual acting. So it was like if someone's sad, they have the most exaggerated sad features on their face, kind of thing. So yeah, see, I'm a cinema. Like I said, I'm a cinema gal. This research was way more interesting than some weird brain mush stuff. Okay, I read that like 7 times, and I was like, alrighty. Glad I'm not doing that. But cinema stuff, that was way more fun to research. So yeah, there's a little brief history for you guys. But maybe, you know, just take a moment out of your day to listen to film scores by these amazing composers, who, by the way, are mostly from like Germany and Switzerland, which is very interesting. There's also one American composer on my list too, so see if you can find that. Like I mentioned before, a timeless one, that one of my personal favorites is John Williams. So like I said, did the work for Star Wars, but he also did the work for Home Alone and Jaws and tons of others. Trying to give you guys new movies, you know? And then there's Hans Zimmer. He composed the music for Pirates of the Caribbean, which is amazing. Also, if you say Pirates of the Caribbean, you're wrong. It's Caribbean. Anyways, he also did the movie music for The Lion King. Harold Faltermeyer, did the movie music for Beverly Hills Cop and Top Gun. Love Top Gun. It's amazing. Okay, anyways. Alan Silvestri. Yeah, guys, they have the weirdest last names. My favorite one is John Williams because it's easy to pronounce. Anyways, Alan Silvestri did the music for Back to the Future, A Night at the Museum, and The Avengers. Oh, okay, this one's also difficult to pronounce. Ludwig Göransson, maybe, composed the music for The Mandalorian, which is sort of like a film score, but it's for a TV show. So those also exist. And I love the theme music for The Mandalorian, guys. Makes me bop my head to the beat every single time I hear it. Oh my goodness. Then we have Michael Price, who composed the music for another one of my favorite TV shows that is off Netflix. It's called Sherlock. It's really good. It has some amazing string orchestra music, and it has so much energy, and I love it. So these people are amazingly talented, and that's just like the tip of the iceberg. There's a ton of these musical composers. And I just love listening to film scores when I write because they're inspiring and they make me excited and they bring so much energy. And like right now, when I was writing this, I was listening to a film score playlist, you know? And I was typing at wickedly fast speed, guys. I was like, whole episode done, move on to the next. You know what I mean? It was crazy. But like, I have a friend who likes to listen to like classical music while she writes. And like, that's cool and all, you know, listen to some Bach and Beethoven. But why not listen to John Williams and bop out to the Star Wars theme while you're doing your math homework? Like, come on, guys. It just makes more sense to me. Or if you like the string orchestra feel, the Sherlock soundtrack by Michael Price, you know, like, I love listening to that one. That was really big for me in high school. I listened to that during my English class while I was typing my essays because I just felt so smart, you know? Like I was just listening to this super intense like string quartet, and I was like, oh my God, I am a genius. Let me go type, 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 type super fast. So yeah, but also take a minute to slow down, you know, and live in the memory of the music. Getting flashbacks to watching like 80s films with my family, like when I hear certain songs, warms my little heart. Like, ah, oh, love it. And especially as someone who gets a little homesick because they are, you know, they're 5 hours away from everyone that they love. Music has always been a way that I have connected with my family and my dad especially. So yeah, that let's wrap up the episode with today's national holiday and fun fact, guys. Guess what national holiday it is? It is National Film Score Day. Woohoo! Oh yeah, we love that. So go celebrate National Film Score Day by listening to some of the artists above. So this fun fact for you guys is kind of a double fun fact, and also it's about Star Wars. What are you gonna do about it? Nothing. Anyways, did you know that Yoda's full name is Minch Yoda? But bef like that was one of his full names that they were gonna call him during the film. And then before that, his original name was Buffy. I know, that's weird. Do with that what you will. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at Positive Podcast, and have an awesome week. May the force be with you.